She should be on next meeting.
You don't need to.
He can, he's pretty up.
After flooding, why don't you, because you don't need these facilities. We need to be protected, years ago.
Yes.
You can totally say that.
Yeah, you have some footwear on.
You want a while too?
Hey, you might as well ask, right? You don't get it.
No, no, you don't ask. Nothing wrong with that. UPR, is that what you want me to?
Yeah.
The, between the Chow family and the.
Thank you.
Between the Chow family and the Kim family. They own the energy company. I actually belong to their business association.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I got very lucky to know them like 20 years ago. And so, in the Chow family owns a lot of. So they've been investing for about 40 years on. And they own a lot on Main Street.
So you're sure when that's first, I think.
Anything, Justin, I need before I start?
No.
No?
Just on the meeting minute approvals, we'll call those out separately. And I'll lead into the record what commissioners were present at those meetings. And then those commissioners would take action. The commissioner not in attendance would recuse himself. So the meeting minutes of the 25th, Commissioner Perez, you would recuse yourself. And then Commissioner Rice would recuse himself from the other meeting minutes.
There's two.
Yeah, there's two. Wait. I only see the minutes for October 25th on the agenda, this official one. So I'm missing something on it?
They were continued to this meeting.
Yeah, we got August 23rd and October 25th.
Okay, so I'm going to add.
Yeah.
I'm not missing that, I was trying on the agenda.
I created the agenda before I knew you would be in attendance to be able to, yeah. So that's why, but I will make that addition and correction to the agenda. We can't?
We can't do it on the 23rd.
Okay. So. So do it again for the next one? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great, calling this meeting of the regular meeting of the Planning Commission, County of Orange here. It's 1:38. We can do the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Butler, would you like to lead us off?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, let's do roll call. Commissioners. Commissioner Joe Hall, first in the district.
Here.
Commissioner Rice, third district.
Present.
Commissioner Bartlett, fifth district.
Here.
And myself, fourth district. And then we're still waiting for the new motions.
Correct.
Correct. Okay, perfect. Okay, so at this time, the minutes from the October 25th meeting. I'm going to recuse myself from that one since I was not here. And if I can have a motion, there was a review, had a chance to review the minutes. And then I have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Any second?
Awesome.
Wonder if we have that recorded, the first or second?
Yes.
Perfect. If we can have a vote.
Aye.
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 Thank you. And then we're not going to do the August 23rd, so that's taken off over here. And discussion items, item one. Oh, I feel like I'm echoing. I'm so sorry if I am. I thought it was about that one. Item number one, please.
Yes, item number one is public hearing on planning application PA21-011 for a use permit to establish a planned unit development for a 44-unit project. Vesting tentative track map 191 6-1 is being processed concurrently and will be presented to the subdivision committee if the planning application is approved. Kevin Canning, our contract planner, will be presenting on behalf of the county staff.
Thank you. I have a design. Okay, thank you. I have a, I think just a brief PowerPoint situation. I'm in a presentation. I'm going to run through this relatively quickly and then just focus on any questions either you or others raised during the subsequent hearing. The project is a request for a use permit in order to establish a 44-unit townhome plan development under the Housing Accountability Act. You will recall earlier this year for the Tustin Hills Tennis Club, that was a similar project where there was a conflict between the general plan designation, also in this case 1B suburban residential, and the zoning designation on the site. In this case, the zoning designation is C1 local commercial with sign restriction overlay and with the housing opportunities overlay. The housing opportunities overlay does allow housing, but it only allows housing that is 100% affordable housing and skewed toward the very low and low income levels. So with the general plan designation of 1B suburban residential, there's the conflict. The suburban residential allows market rate housing, and that's what the applicant is proposing, whereas the specific site with the zoning does not allow market rate housing, only 100% rental affordable projects. The applicant, much like the Tennis Hills, is proposing a plan development, which in our zoning code requires the approval of the use permit. Also through that process, it is allows the applicant to propose site-specific development standards in terms of building setbacks from property lines and the like. However, wish to point out, in this case, we go back to the zoning thing. There are residential units in the immediate vicinity at the R4 and R2, you know, the higher density categories. There's also a manufactured housing subdivision across the street. So there's a lot of housing in the area at a density and a development standards similar to what the applicant is proposing here. So we have the technical site plan. The applicant is proposing three-story floor plans and structures that are either 5 units or 6 units, an attached two-car garage to each unit, and 3 bedrooms for each unit. The 3 stories is up to 35 feet, which is consistent with the zoning in this proposal and also with the surroundings development. The floor plans, you can see the attached garage in each unit. The second floor, what I point out here, going back to the elevations, is at the second floor level, there is a deck, a balcony within a couple of the units. There are no exterior decks, balconies, or open areas on the third floor. The floor plans. Part of the use permit also is for a parking modification. Our zoning code requires on multifamily projects such as this, besides the base parking requirement, the unassigned spaces, the base parking is the number of parking spaces based upon the bedroom count, and then a small percentage for guest parking, and then there is an excess of unassigned parking spread throughout the project. The zoning code requires that unassigned parking spaces with be within 200 feet walking distance from a unit. The applicant has 8 units in the upper right hand corner of the project that will be greater than 200 feet walking distance to the nearest unassigned parking spaces. Actually gets up to about 275 feet. All the other units do have an unassigned parking space within a 200-foot walking distance. This particular design is purposeful in that the applicant is staying away from the easterly property line, the left on this exhibit, where there is drainage easements that goes down there that serves the project adjacent and up above it. And also it serves for additional separation from those units in that project. To the north or the upper part of this, there is not only an elevational difference, but there is also a significant separation distance with a street, the entry street, for that community too. But to the west there, it is the subject lot, an upslope, and then units backing up to it. So there still is a pretty good separation, but by gathering the parking spaces along that edge, it provides an additional buffer to separate the structures of this project to the existing residential units. You can see from this is there's a lot of residential development in the area. They are condominium and townhome type projects also. Because of that, it's an interesting aside, when we're doing our 300-foot noticing, if I hit a condominium project, I have to notice every single condominium owner, even if they're on the far side of the development, much further than 300 feet from the subject project. The public notice requirements for this project was just under 600 notices. So it was widely advertised for the hearing. Getting up a little bit closer, this is for the existing commercial center. That you have letters in the file from managers of this site, long-term, stating that it is basically, my words, not theirs, a failing site, a lot of vacancies, and it's falling into some disrepair because of that. The proposed developments would be consistent and complementary with the development's densities and standards surrounding it. The difference being the 35-foot height. The subject project is taking advantage of that. The other projects that were constructed 20-plus years ago basically only two-story developments. I imagine there'll be some people here to speak about it, and I can get into that. As I said, the septic project meets the setback requirements, meets the height restrictions, meets parking standards for the number of spaces required under our code. 8 units do not meet the parking standard for the 200-foot walking distance from the unit to an unassigned space. Be available to answer any of the questions, but staff is recommending that you consider the project, the negative declaration that we completed on it, and make the appropriate findings for approval. I can answer any questions now, and we can come back to answer later.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was very thorough. At this time, I'd like to open up for questions from commissioners.
Mr. Kenny, one question related to the parking distance. I just did a quick Google check. So it's about 0.57 seconds, so almost a minute a little over a minute to walk 200 feet. How much further are these units than 200 feet?
75 to 100. Yes.
So maybe 30 seconds or so of additional walking.
Correct.
And does staff support the additional units within outside of the 200 feet?
Yes, staff did not feel it was an unreasonable request, particularly the offset. The fix would have been to move the buildings around and make it work. We felt that the layout of the structures as they were proposed to create that additional buffer along that one property line was a superior choice between the two.
Okay. That's the only question I have at the moment.
Thank you. Commissioner Hall, do you have any questions?
Not right now.
Commissioner Rice?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did get briefing by staff, and I also spoke to the applicant. So I have asked quite a few questions about this already. But I think for right now, let me just ask one question in public of Mr. Canning, and that is, what findings, and that may be too technical, that I don't mean that in a technical term, but what did staff look into and find out concerning traffic on this?
Well, traffic, in terms of what traffic analysis is required, the project itself doesn't have enough units to trigger a vehicle miles traveled standard. You need to be over 500, and this is below that. So just using general ITE Institute of Traffic Engineers factors for traffic generation and trip ends, the proposed project would be less traffic than a fully occupied commercial center. Today, the commercial center has a lot of vacancies, so naturally its traffic in and out trip ends is down. But the traffic generated by the proposed projects meets the criteria for intersection impacts and that sort of criteria that we look at in a traffic engineering assessment. So is it more traffic than today? Yes, because the property will be at a more intense use than a partially vacant shopping center.
Okay. And bringing that up right now, so here in public, currently, what is the occupancy? What's being used in that center right now, if you know? What's actually being?
I don't have that information with me. Perhaps the applicant does.
Okay. And I did ask this question of staff, because this is the public forum, I'll ask it again. Because of the proximity to the gas station, because this where we are in the process, there's been no excavation or anything like that, and nobody's doing any testing concerning soils and contamination or whatever. Is that correct?
Correct.
That right now we're at the conceptual level, and it would be at a later point where those environmental issues are specifically addressed?
Well, two things. The applicants or the project proponent may have already done those studies, but we do not require them at the county until they submit their their grading plans. That's the prove up time that we look at soils contamination and any remediation they may have to do and soil stability and the like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's consistent with what I thought I knew. But there's a lot of things that I think I know that are probably not true. So I wanted to ask you. For now, Madam Chair, that's probably all that I have. Then maybe we'll hear from the applicant.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any follow-up questions, Commissioner Bortner? No? Thank you very much. At this time, I would like to ask if the applicant would like to come up and speak.
Thank you, Chair Perez and members of the Commission. Just a few remarks, and I can also answer some of the questions that did come up. So in a very simple way, our proposal here is to replace a struggling shopping center. It is the worst performing and the cheapest shopping center in the city of Yorba Linda, and we are buying it, and it wants to be housing, and really that has been the situation since Imperial Highway was raised above grade at the Esperanza Orange Club crossing 10 years ago. Before that, it's fine, but now it really wants to be consistent with what's around it, which are townhouse adjacent and single family up the hill and the elementary school up the hill. So this is our proposal here, rendering from the central courtyard.
Try up or down.
Oops. And the site plan, as Mr. Canning summarized, really early on we engaged with all of our neighbors, and that is 3 years ago. It was in the COVID summer of 2020 that we started talking to, we have two adjacent HOAs, which are our primary neighbors. Talked to them and understood very early that traffic and parking are the major concerns in this neighborhood, as they are in many neighborhoods. But our especially sensitive edge was the west side there, and as Mr. Canning pointed out, we tried really hard to push everything away from the backyards that of the existing Fair Green HOA that are right up against there. There's about eight of them. And not only is the parking, the guest parking put there and the drive aisle put there, but we also put the stormwater in-ground processing in those green areas there. And that is what allows that central slug of four buildings to move as far to the right as possible. It was specifically done to minimize the impact on the neighbors. And more than that, on the sides of the buildings that are exposed to that western neighbor, what you have on the top floors are not the primary windows, but you have the frosted windows of the bathrooms and the small windows in the bedrooms that allow some light in, but not the primary. So all of that is going to work towards the adjacency. In summary, we are asking for housing in a way at a density that is consistent with the general plan. It is about half of the density that would have been allowed under the H1 overlay with affordable housing. But we are asking for market rate housing at the general plan density. The traffic reduction average daily trips is 75% less than the existing shopping center as if it were full, as Mr. Canning pointed out. So with the shopping center at about half occupied right now, the average daily trips ought to be about half of what is existing condition. To Commissioner Rice's question about the gas station adjacency, we have done underground soil study, record search, and vapor testing, and the soil is great. The conditions are great. Parking, we are parking slightly more than code, county required, and significantly more than the parking ratios of the two adjacent HOAs whose townhouses were built in the 60s and 70s. So we are providing a little extra there. And in addition, there is some street parking, which is not counted, but there is street parking on the public street, which I'll point out on the next slide. It is surrounded by townhomes. It is asking for standards that are similar to the R2 and R4 adjacent. It has been designed for the neighbors, as I pointed out. And in addition, we have outreached broadly, grassroots, shoe leather, door-to-door knocking, so that our neighbors, in addition to the 500 or 600 mailings, that our neighbors, person-to-person, had a chance to look at what's coming and to comment to us on that. And to that effect, a number of them, a large majority, have submitted written correspondence in support of this direction. And that is this last slide here, which I'd like to just walk over and point out.
On Farallon Boulevard here, the public parking that is in place is the entire length of our property, and this side, the west side of Farallon up to here, and then all the way up the hill. This side of Farallon has no public parking, but beginning at the curve all the way up, as well as Oakdale Drive and Woodgate Drive here. All of those are an inventory of public parking. So on a New Year's Day party or a Super Bowl party, when nobody is able to contain even on-site
This is a better situation than where we have a bunch of gated walled communities and there's just nowhere else to go. We have an inventory here, a pressure relief. Nobody wants to use that or to use it up, but it is available when it is not in many other places. But the stakeholders, the large white shapes are the Woodgate HOA and the Fairland HOA on the right. There is a single family home HOA farther to the left, and then farthest to the left is an apartment complex. There are two shaded green shopping centers which are competitive with the existing shopping center here. And then there is a mobile home, manufactured home park over there. What these dots represent in green are the 38 individuals who have submitted as of last week, Wednesday, letters of support in the direction that it's going. There were four white dots for people who had made inquiries, and 17 in red who were concerned, parking or traffic, typically, or opposed. And if I may note that half of those 17 were written by multiple members of the same family. What this picture is meant to show is just the general feeling across the neighborhood that we have talked to about the direction that we hope in the next 3 to 5 years that a development could be done. So thank you, and I'd like, if I may, to reserve time to answer any additional questions that may come.
Alex, could you talk about your request on the period of validity that I did not cover?
Yes, it is an operating shopping center, even though it's half empty. There are tenants there, there are terms left on those leases. And in order to smoothly transition, rather than sort of kick everybody out right now, we could potentially wait several years for all the leases to expire and everybody to find new places to move their business who want to move their businesses. And we ask that the commission grant, which it has the power to do, a period of time of 5 years as the initial period of time for the entitlements. The default is 3 years, but the commission has the power to state what it wants, and we ask for that time to just allow things to go forward smoothly. And that's the basic period. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Does anybody have any questions for the applicant?
Madam Chair, I do. I'm trying to make sense of the cross section on the handout here. If I can barely read it, maybe I'm getting old. But what's the proposed screen wall separation on the west side and between the existing gas station and the proposed development? Is it the standard 6 foot high block wall type, or are you planning on doing a higher 8 foot high or something to that effect?
Yes. Two answers. On the east and the south, those are standard 6 foot high walls per regulation. On the north and the west, which are the walls between us and the HOA that touches us, there are slopes over there, and that HOA has actually requested if those walls could be taller. And we do have the ability to do that, and it is our intent to work out the details with that HOA and potentially or likely to be taller.
So you'll be able to work out some kind of agreement between you and the adjacent association on the height of the wall?
Yes.
Okay. What is the elevation change for that slope, you know?
Yes, on the between us and the townhouses to the north, there's about a one-story difference in elevation. So the tops of our three-story townhouses will line up with about the tops of their two-story townhouses. On the west, it starts at that one-story separation and comes down to be equal in the grade. So on there, our three stories become taller than their two stories. And that is why, again, we worked so hard to push our massing off of that off that edge.
Okay, and I'm assuming that slope is landscaped?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I got. Thank you.
Yeah, Madam Chair, just following up on that then, what is the horizontal difference between the, we'll call it the western development and your townhomes?
I don't have the number off the...
Because you have drive aisle?
We have drive aisle, we have...
Sidewalk?
Storm treatment, we have a parking space,
right.
20 feet length. And then we have at least 15 foot on the slope. And then add to that their backyards, however.
And the street itself, right. On west, I'm going west.
You're going west, then we have our street, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. We have a guess.
If I had to guess, probably 100 to 130 feet.
130 feet, plus or minus?
Sounds about right. Engineers here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did meet with the applicant and I fired quite a few questions at him. I think for the most part I've covered those with Mr. Canning. So nothing right now. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a quick question, just for clarification. The applicant spoke about tenants and transitioning and something that we can go ahead as a commission from 3 to 5 years. I just wanted some clarification if we need to amend the recommended action.
Yes, that is correct. Under the current zoning code, the established time period for the initial approval is 3 years. The Planning Commission, upon request, can take action to extend that to a period of time that they find appropriate. In this circumstance, we would just add a fifth finding or an additional finding that the timeline or initial time period of approval would go from 3 to 5 years. And just as an aside, staff has reviewed the request and would recommend that due to the considerations raised by the applicant.
And as part of a motion, you could still say that you move the recommended actions and add the period of validity for the permit. Not really an amendment of what's there, it's condition.
Just move and then add to the timeline of 3 to 5 years.
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Any further questions for the applicant? Thank you. At this time, I'd like to open up to public comments.
If we open the public hearing?
A public hearing, sorry.
And then just to note the time of the opening of the public hearing is 2:06.
Madam Chair, I would say that we did receive some letters, and I know that I've read those letters, and the other commissioners probably read those letters as well. So we have had some input from the public previously.
Perfect. Thank you.
We do have one request to speak that has been provided. This is by Elizabeth Hansberg. If anyone else would like to come and speak, we do have additional public speaker slips that you can come and pick up and sign and just submit those and then you would be called next.
Good afternoon. May I ask how much time I have?
3 minutes.
Okay. So my name is Elizabeth Hansberg. I'm with the housing advocacy organization, People for Housing. I am here to basically reflect what a great opportunity this housing development would be for 44 families to live in Orange County, 44 families to have access to the Yorba Linda School District, which is a really high-performing school district. In the context of a housing shortage in California that definitely impacts Orange County, this housing typology of the three-story townhome with the tuck-under parking, this is the middle-class housing of this next generation. We are no longer building single-family detached homes on 6,000 and 7,000 square foot lots, in part because we don't have the room, but even moreover, in places where we are going to build single-family homes, they're building them to the very top of the market, and those really aren't accessible to middle-class families. And so this housing development is an amazing opportunity to provide some of that missing middle density housing that families need. I want to share with you some quotes from the Community Indicator Report that was just released this past week. And then the article by Jeff Collins in the Register went live on the 7th. And so it says, meanwhile, only 12% of Orange County households could afford to buy a median priced house in the first half of 2023. Some comments about the housing shortage. They say that the housing shortage is really holding us back from being able to make progress on economic and social goals that we have. We're losing our middle class to Texas, to Utah, people who have an education behind them that the state of California in many ways has subsidized through our public education, our excellent university system. They're taking that earning potential out of California because they can't find appropriate housing for their families. So just want to emphasize that all public policy is pointing in the direction of let's replace declining commercial retail with housing. We've had it from Sacramento with the passage of AB 2011 and SB 6, which, while this project is not using those laws, definitely points to its by right development of housing on commercial property, right? So that we can recycle some of these sites. We also have it from the local policymakers. There was a study released right before the pandemic by the Orange County Business Council called the E-tail Revolution, and it makes the argument that because of declining brick and mortar commercial, that the best replacement use for these underperforming strip centers is housing. So please vote to recommend this project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I have Curtis Chubbuck.
Maybe 30.
I have never done this before, so I apologize for if I'm nervous, but I sent you a couple emails, and thank you for receiving those. I think these are lovely homes, but I think they're out of place for our community. The track it's a monolith to all the rest of our homes in the area. I live directly across the street, and I think I showed you a graphic of what my patio might look like. And three stories is just, it's huge. There's nothing anywhere in the area with three stories. It doesn't complement our neighborhood. It takes it over. Parking is bad already. And it, just this week, I had to park illegally in front of my house, wait for something to open up before I could park on Woodgate. It's just the reality of life. But at the same time, there is occasionally parking, and we can have people over in our home and entertain. But I believe that if there was another track put in of this size, three stories, that it would be, people wouldn't want to come to our house because they'd have trouble finding parking. But in addition, there's all these little other soft costs to environmental impact. If right now the sun comes up from the east and it's really hot that direction, and now if I have a three-story, 35 foot, now there's something reflecting heat to the back of my house at the same time. And then, Californians, we all enjoy the offshore breeze that comes in the evenings, and that would be now blocked by this big, monolith, of a wall, and take away our effective use of our home. I realize we all have to make concessions, Some people want it, some don't. I'm okay, but three stories is too much, and I would ask that that we keep it to two stories like all the rest of the homes in the area. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker I have is Genevieve Chabot.
Chabert, sorry.
Thank you. I apologize for my last minute to joining of this, but I only just found out about this new property the other day. Like, I had to try to get off of work and everything to come down here. I do live there. I do suffer from all the non-parking that is on those public city streets. And even on the way leaving this morning, there was an 8-pile backup on Fairland, and it did not move at all. And this was not even related to the parking, even though there are already cars parked up and down both sides of Fairland. This was just general traffic, a trash truck trying to get out of a lane, and everything got backed up. Additionally, I don't know if you can tell from this picture, but there are a lot of homes on that. And when the property was initially purchased where I live, there was a stop and go at the bottom where we could walk and get groceries and things. Now I have to walk down to the 76, and they generally don't have what I need. And what we really need in this community is businesses. If you look over here, so all of these used to be businesses here. This here used to be businesses, places you go, feed stores, all sorts of things. They're no longer there. We really need shops as residents who live here. We don't need these huge buildings. And I lived in these 3-story townhomes before. And you know what? How many people I lived with? I lived with 10 people. And we regularly had 15 cars parked on the street for our one unit. And the people who live next to us, likewise. And the people next to us, likewise. And even where I live now, we have the same issue. 7 humans with 10 cars all parked on the street. We're ripping out greenery to try to accommodate parking. And it's already a traffic jam situation. There's already going to be egress issues in a fire situation. We've already been evacuated just a couple years ago for fire. But my main request, and I don't know if I'm too late in the game because I didn't find out about this until just the other day, is I would prefer that they do something if they want to turn it into a city like Irvine, where you have little shops on the bottom and you put small units above it and you have a subterranean underground parking because the soil is good apparently. So those would be my requests. I appreciate you hearing me. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the next speaker and final speaker I have to slip for is Mike Weller.
Good afternoon. I am connected to this project probably in 3 different ways. One, so I've lived in the area about 13 years. I am a homeowner and property owner in the Fairgreen community, which is the adjacent community, and lived in there. I was a resident there for a long time. And since I've moved up the hill near the elementary school, which would be like just north of the, just where the map cuts off, basically. So I'm still a homeowner in the area. I'm also a local realtor, and I have specialized in these communities for the last 12 years. I've sold about 75 of these condos and townhomes in Fairgreen and Woodgate and Charter Hill. So I feel like I know this area better than anybody at this point. It's been clear to me for a long time that that shopping center has been dying, and it was going to be replaced. It will be replaced, whether it's this project or something else that's going to come down the road in the future. I've known what the zoning is, and the zoning has been, and you know, it's commercial, but it's got the lower income overlay on it. And I honestly think that this project is pretty much along the lines of the best that I think we're going to expect to redevelop this property into. Maybe not everything's perfect, and I know I certainly understand that there's going to be concerns about some of the parking, some of the additional traffic. I don't think it's going to be too crazy. It's a relatively small number of units, 44 units. I don't think it's going to be too crazy, but I definitely understand some of the neighbors' concerns on those things. But overall, you know, and there will be some pain point as there's construction going on. That's, you know, that's never fun, and I get that. And I travel through there every day, and I'm in those neighborhoods every day. And I will tell you, selling these other communities, that the two main concerns that come up for people coming into the area looking at those townhomes are that shopping center as it currently exists, and then the railroad, the proximity to the railroad. And it sounds like the developer's also, conversation for another time, but it sounds like the developer's also open to maybe collaborating with the communities on maybe doing something to moot the railroad along the lines of a sound wall. But again, that's a conversation for another time. But I think overall, this project is probably a net positive for the area and the adjacent condos and townhomes, even with a little bit of the pain that may come along with construction and some of the other
30 seconds.
So that's it. Okay.
Thank you.
I have no other request to speak, but if any members of the public would like to speak, now is the time and place.
No, if not, I will go ahead and close public hearing.
Just denoting the time is at 2:18.
Great. At this time, I'd like to bring it back open. So if the commissioners have any questions for staff, anybody? Commissioner Addis?
No, I don't think I have any additional questions, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, just a couple of comments. I think the looking at the site plan and hearing the applicant's explanation of trying to mitigate as many of the adjacency issues as possible, I think they've done a pretty good job at that. Also reviewing the architecture, it's very well articulated, and nice job on the architecture. We meet all the parking. It sounds like all the park, actually we're over parked by a few spaces. So all in all, I think the applicant's done a pretty decent job. Understanding and recognizing that there's never a perfect project when it comes to these infill locations, because we have established residential patterns around the property, and there always is going to be some conflict one way or the other, but just trying to minimize those. I think the applicant has done a good job there, understanding some of the concerns the residents have offered up. Certainly, those are things that are, I think, are outside our control right now. We'd certainly can empathize with them. So, thank you.
I'd like to echo Commissioner Bartlett's sentiments, and thank you to everyone who came and spoke. I appreciate and respect what you shared with us here. He's correct. There's never that perfect project. I do think the applicant gave a very thoughtful and thorough application here, so thank you for that. Is there any other discussion or questions? If not, I would like to make,
Just to add that to the timeline extension, there is a condition of approval that asserts the timeline. So in your recommendation, just the added action to amend condition 2 to extend the approval period from 36 months to a total of 60 months. And that would effectively allow for the requested time extension.
Okay, so I was going to actually move the item myself because it's in my district. And let's see if I got this right. I'd like to make a motion to move item number 1, PA21-0111, as stated by and recommended by staff, with the amendment to from 3 to 5 years, or 36 months to 60 months.
Mm-hmm. If you can add just with the amendment to condition approval of approval number 2.
To add the amendment to condition number 2. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Can we get to a vote, please? Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
Madam Chairman, if I may, just for the audience that's here, there will be a second hearing on a different aspect of this project for the vesting tenant of track map. They will all receive a public notice for that sometime in the next month. So if it's for a vesting tenant of track map, project isn't changing, it's just the other aspect for development.
Thank you.
Thank you again, everybody, for that item. At this time, I'd like to move on to the executive officer update.
Not too much. I don't believe we are planning on an item in December as of yet. We should know within the next week or so if we will be having a planning commission meeting in December, so we'll pour that on if we do.
Okay.
Madam Chair, would that be the, for the first meeting?
That would be, yes.
Okay.
No, and we are not anticipating the second meeting in November for being held either. So already not canceling, but just it will be canceled for that future date. December, we don't have any items scheduled. And then the second meeting in December, we've already contemplated not having that meeting just due to the holiday schedules of things.
Thank you. County Council, please.
I do have one update. Sorry, my mic doesn't seem to be working. As to the Ranch Hills project that was approved by the Planning Commission a few months ago, the board considered the project and it was approved on a vote of 3-1. One missing abstention, and abstention by Supervisor Doe. And there has been no filed challenge to the board's approval. The applicant, however, has been sued for quiet title action relating to the covenant. So the private covenant will be litigated, but there was no CEQA action and no challenge to the planning actions. If they filed it now, it would be beyond the statute of limitations. I should make that clear.
Thank you for that update. Next item, Planning Commissioner comments. Commissioner Hall?
I don't have anything.
Commissioner Weiss?
Yeah, two things. I'm not sure that project was in your district. It might have been in the third. It's okay.
Apologies.
It's all right.
Just
to make sure that nobody thought I was sleeping. Comments or something like that.
Sorry.
I didn't hear. So it sounds to me, Mr. Kirk, that this could be the last meeting of the year.
That is correct.
Oh, well, then happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And as far as I know, I'll be here next year. Thank you.
Commissioner Bartlett.
Really no comments, but it's been a pleasure serving with everybody again this year. So thank you for your leadership, Madam Chair. And look forward to another great year next year, 2024 onward.
I'd like to echo those sentiments from my fellow commissioners. If this is the last meeting, happy Veterans Day coming up and all the holidays coming up. I wish everybody a wonderful holiday season. Thank you for allowing me to serve as chair this year. I look forward to rotating the leadership in the beginning of the year. And if there are no further items to discuss, I'm going to open it up for public comments. Hearing none, I'm going to close public comments. And at this time, we're going to adjourn. And our next meeting is tentatively scheduled for Wednesday, December 13th. Thank you all.
You guys got to duke it out and see who you're from this week. I thought you were from this week.